Hi, this is Jan Miyasaki, the host of the Wednesday 8 o'clock Buzz. Thank you for tuning into WORT. If you like what you're hearing, please consider making a donation at wortfm.org/donate. Hey, a new report from Americans for Tax Fairness and the Institute for Policy Studies found that 35 major U.S. corporations paid less in federal income taxes between 2018 and 2022 than they paid their top five executives. So among those 35 corporations, their total executive compensation over the five-year time span was $9.5 billion, while their combined federal income tax bills came to negative $1.8 billion. So yes, that means they received refunds totaling that amount. So joining me is Will Rice. Will Rice is senior writer at Americans for Tax Fairness and is co-author of the report. So hey, thank you, Will Rice, for joining me. Thanks for standing by.
Thank you so much for having me.
You say it's important that people know this, that in fact, folks are pretty busy. You know, they have an idea that somehow the system is rigged against them. But this report and your analysis of a larger report by the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy gives us really concrete examples of this unfairness.
Yeah, and what we're trying to point out in our report is that there's two bad trends going on. One is that big profitable corporations are paying less and less in taxes in terms of a share of the national economy. And meanwhile, their top executives are raking in larger and larger amounts of compensation. And both those trends are bad news for America's working families, because it means on the one hand, there's less money available for public services. On the other, there's less money available in these corporations to pay ordinary workers and also to make the kind of investments that make a corporation profitable and sound in the long term.
So tell us some of the key findings of your report.
Well, you hit on some of them. I think the most striking one is that there were 35 major U.S. corporations, and these include familiar names like Ford, Netflix, T-Mobile, and Tesla, paid less in federal income taxes between 2018 and 2022 than they paid their top five executives. And all 35 of those companies were cumulatively profitable over that five-year period. It's also notable that 18 corporations in our study, despite reporting net profits over those 5 years, paid zero or in almost every case less than zero. They got refunds over those five periods, despite over $5 billion, despite being profitable and somehow finding the money to pay their executives over $5 billion. So what we're trying to point out here is that corporations that are able to legally avoid paying their taxes actually have plenty of money, and a lot of that money winds up in the pockets of their top executives. And this is for a lot of reasons. There's been a general trend for the last 40 years of demanding less of our big corporations in terms of contributing to our national government through taxation, while at the same time there have been trends expanding the ratio between what top executives are paid and what ordinary workers are paid, from roughly 20 to 1 50 years ago to now over 300 to 1 is the ratio of CEO pay to median worker pay at these large corporations.
You know, and an additional parenthetical from the Institute for Policy Studies that we've been hearing about is it also is accounting for a larger proportion of what we think of as inflation, which is really due to these kinds of profits and corporate pay and not so much the cost of production. So it's hurting us everywhere. Tell us more about what you found. And I want to talk about that and then get to solutions.
Okay. Well, other key points from the report are that the reason corporate tax payments are so low now is a combination of the the official tax rate that corporations are supposed to pay, what's called the statutory rate, has declined by 3/5 over the last 70 years or so, and by 2/5 just in the last 7 years. There was a big corporate tax rate cut under President Trump and with the assistance of a Republican Congress back in 2017. The corporate tax rate was cut by 2/5, and predictably, corporate tax receipts fell. In addition to where the official corporate tax rate is, corporations can use loopholes and special breaks to whittle down their tax payments even further. And one of the most destructive forms of corporate tax dodging is the offshoring of profits and sometimes even jobs in order to cut down on their U.S. tax obligations. And then on the side of executive pay, even though there have been some efforts to curb that, the impetus is just too strong to have these corporate executive pay packages continue to skyrocket. One of the reasons for that is that corporate boards are often stocked with executives from other companies, so they're kind of log rolling. They're each promoting big pay packages for their fellow CEOs. And the disadvantage of that, in addition to just spending all that money, is that a lot of their compensation comes in the form of stock, whether direct stock or options to buy stock at a preferable price. And so they have a strong inclination to try to juice the share price of their corporation, even if that's not in the best long-term interests of the corporation, the people who work for it, and the communities those corporations are in.
And so I just want to, so there was reason to look specifically at the 5 years after the Trump tax cuts, when they dropped from 35% to 21%, this problem, though, long brewing. And that even if it's at 21%, these corporations were paying, getting refunds, 0 or maybe 1 or 2% taxes actually, right?
That's right. The real problem there is that corporations are essentially allowed to figure their profitability in two different ways. When they're trying to attract investors on Wall Street, they use a certain metric of profitability that makes their profitability, that makes their profits look bigger. And when they're figuring out what they owe the IRS, they're allowed to use a different system that makes it look much, much smaller. So it would seem that if a corporation was profitable, they should be paying taxes. They should be paying taxes at a fairly good rate. But because of these two different systems, they announce that they're profitable to Wall Street, which is the more accurate metric, really. But at the same time, they're poor-mouthing the IRS and saying we can't afford to pay any taxes, and in fact, we need some money back because of a loss maybe we had 4 years ago. So President Biden, and actually, you're going to talk about solutions. That one thing he's tried to do, actually accomplished in the Inflation Reduction Act a couple of years ago, was for the very largest corporations, the ones worth over $1 billion, who have more than $1 billion in profits, he's requiring them to pay at least 15% based on what the profit figure they report to Wall Street, what's called book income. And that's only starting to be implemented, but that's certainly a step in the right direction.
Now, you mentioned Netflix and Ford. Can you give us more examples? You have the terrible 10 case studies.
Yeah. The topping it off is Tesla. Whose CEO is depending on where the stock market is today, either one of the or the most wealthiest man in the world, Elon Musk. pardon me. he got a tax package. It was so big that Delaware, where most American corporations are incorporated because it's so business friendly, a judge in Delaware struck it down as excessive. It was worth, at this point, at the time of the lawsuit, $56 billion. So Tesla may have to revise that figure, but whatever it is they wind up paying him, it'll be more than they're paying in taxes. A big reason for Tesla not paying much in taxes is that they were losing money for a long time, and you only have to pay taxes if you're profitable. But it's clear from a lot of the maneuvers they're using that even as they become profitable, which they have been over the last few years, they're going to be one of those companies that takes every possible legal maneuver to avoid paying their fair share. T-Mobile is another example. They paid their executives $675 million over those 5 years, their top five executives, and paid less than zero, got an $80 million refund over those 5 years. And T-Mobile is an example where they're drawing a lot on the public resources. They were able to buy up spectrum for their wireless services, and were given tax breaks in the process. Netflix, which a lot of us subscribe to, $652 million in executive pay, paid a federal income tax rate of 1.6% on over $15 billion in profits. And the average American household pays about 15% in taxes every year.
And they just raised their rates too, but they made $15 billion. Just have to throw that out.
Yeah, you mentioned what's called greedflation before. There was definitely, right after the pandemic, there were problems with supply chains and build up demand, enough stuff that led to inflation. But there's good studies showing that now corporations are just using it as an excuse and just prying more money out of people.
You know, when you looked at this data, you know, what kind of companies were getting the largest deals, packages? Did you take a look at that?
Well, the one trend in terms of industries that we found was that energy companies were particularly persistent tax dodgers. And the reason for that is that there's a particular dodge called accelerated depreciation that utilities can use. And what depreciation is an accounting term that means that you're supposed to spread out the cost of something. Like if you build a building or buy a large piece of equipment, you're supposed to write off the cost of that over the useful lifespan of the piece of equipment. But currently, during those 5 years, corporations could just write off immediately the full cost of something, even if it didn't add without taking into account the fact that it would be useful for them for sometimes decades. So energy companies have large capital investments, and they were able to use that to really take down their tax payments.
So you're a tax writer at Americans for Tax Fairness. And I appreciate how understandable this report is. And in terms of the takeaways that really need to be out there, you know, how well are we doing at getting this information out there? You guys are doing a good job, but just into the mainstream. So the problem, and then how well are we doing that? And then let's just wind up with more solutions.
Okay. Well, the problem with taxes as a issue is that it's math, which a lot of people don't like. It's complicated. It can seem complicated, and people generally are a little frightened by the IRS. So, but that's a useful screen behind which corporations and wealthy people can get away with a lot of mischief. So, but I appreciate this opportunity to talk to you. And I guess the message you want to get out is taxes can be a complicated issue, but the basic principles are not that complicated. And most people in America have a sense, even if they don't know all the details, that there's something wrong, that there's something rigged about the system. So we encourage people to just learn as much as they need to, which isn't an awful lot, to be a champion for tax fairness and to make that an important question they ask candidates and that they educate themselves on when they're voting. Apologize, I'm getting over a cold. But in terms of solutions, we lay out some of them at the end of the report. And the simplest one in terms of the low level of corporate tax payments is to raise the corporate tax rate. As you mentioned, it used to be 35%, although no one really paid that much usually. But President Trump and the Republicans lowered to 21%. President Biden has proposed raising it back up to 28%, which would just be halfway back to where it was before. And if we just did that, according to the congressional budget scorekeepers, we could raise over $1 trillion in revenue over the next 10 years, money that we could be used to lower the cost of health care, to provide better child care, to improve education, to make housing more affordable. So that's a simple step. And then there are bills in Congress to try to curb the ability of corporations to dodge their taxes by shifting profits and production offshore. And then there are also a lot of proposals to try to rein in excessive executive pay. So the answers are out there. The proposals are in Congress. We just need the right people there to vote on them and to get them enacted.
You know, you mentioned, I think, enforcement or alluded to it. What about enforcement? The average taxpayer is afraid of the IRS. Why aren't they?
Well, because the average taxpayer doesn't have an army of accountants and tax lawyers. Yes, I mean, and that's another thing that the Biden administration actually has accomplished in that same law, the Inflation Reduction Act, 2 years ago. For the previous 10 or 15 years, the IRS had been the target of a purposeful effort to basically make it too weak to go after big targets who are blatantly evading taxes. And this is now illegal tax evasion we're talking about. And so 2 years ago, President Biden and the Democrats in Congress passed a law that gave the IRS, that basically restored its funding to what it should have been. And they're already going after billionaires and large corporations. And that's going to raise lots of money. It's going to lower the deficit and create more money again for useful public services. Republicans have been going after that restored funding tooth and nail. They actually achieved a $20 billion reduction in it. But we're hopeful that the Democrats will hold the line there and the IRS can be restored to its full strength and actually make sure everyone obeys the law and we can crack down on rich tax cheats. And they're not going to use the money to go after anyone who makes less than $400,000 a year.
So are any of the proposals bipartisan?
I wish I could say yes, but Republican ideology is basically hamstrung on this idea that they never should. No wealthy person or corporation should ever be asked to pay a nickel more in taxes. And I think that's short-sighted and is counter to what most people want. In fact, what most Republican voters want. Polling shows over and over again that all across the political spectrum, Americans want rich people and corporations to pay a fair share of tax. So the politicians representing them are not doing a good job, but instead are just responding to the demands of their donors, I think.
Right. You know, folks, look for this. I mean, you can link to the report through the Institute for Policy Studies or the Institute for Public Accuracy and look at the report. You can also from that link into the larger Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy. The report's called Corporate Tax Avoidance in the First 5 Years of the Trump Tax Law. The Will Rice is a senior writer at Americans for Tax Fairness and along with the Institute for Policy Studies is co-author of this report. I have just so many questions. I'm out of time, Will Rice, but, you know, this isn't out there. There's so much misdirection and lies out there, right? So we got to cut through all of that.
PR. Yeah, there's a big fight coming up over the next couple of years because a lot of the parts of the Trump GOP tax law are actually expiring as an accounting maneuver. Basically, they make some components of their law temporary. They're going to expire at the end of next year, and there's going to be a big fight over whether they should be allowed to expire for people who are very wealthy, as President Biden wants, or they're going to continue them all at a cost of trillions of dollars. So that's something for people to try to maybe key into. The position of President Biden and the Democrats is to try to keep the tax, the lower taxes for ordinary people, people making less than $400,000 a year, but let the tax cuts for those who are wealthier expire.
Hey, thank you. I'm speaking with Will Rice, senior writer for Americans for Tax Fairness. And you just log on to their website, Americans for Tax Fairness, and you'll just get a whole lot of really useful information. You know, reporters need to be asking these questions too, I think, and I'm not hearing them asking that when they are within the candidates or Trump's ear. Thank you, Will. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much.